All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Drop in the Gloves. Probably good afternoon by the time everybody listens to this. Everybody's got their own technique, Tim, on how to listen to the show. Early morning, driving to work, maybe during work where we listen to shows, but it's early afternoon, maybe nighttime. I don't know. But thank you for joining us here. I really appreciate it. I will just say you just missed Tim being a disgusting pig before we started recording. It's become the norm now, Tim. You press record, and then you just go bonkers with your belching. Something's wrong with your stomach.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second, because we turned the video on.
Let's really dive into it.
Yeah. Before we hit the record button, John is stuffing his mouth. I saw 7 cookies go into his mouth, and he's trying to tell me that it's 2 plus some pastries.
Two pastries.
Two adds up pretty quickly, and I just hear the nose breathing and the mouth stuffing, and you're just right in the camera, like you zoomed in to show me what you're eating. It's just, it's a lot.
If you've ever been to Michigan, you know that there's a grocery store called Myers, and my boss buys little treats sometimes. And so there was some oatmeal raisin cookies and some little pastry poppers. They were both delicious, and I only had 2 each. And frankly, it's none of your business what I put in my mouth, Mr. Burping in the mic when we're recording. All right, let's get into this show, Tim. Can we? I don't have a bloody nose. People can see us on YouTube. It's a good day. It's a good day for some. It's a bad day for others. It's a good day for the Boston Bruins. What a fun series this is, first of all. Can we just get that out of the way? I know I'm critical. I did a spot on Sportsnet Edmonton yesterday with Ladislav Schmid, and they were asking me how the series is, and you know, we commented on all of them. I felt bad after the interview because I was really critical of some teams. And I should have paraphrased it by saying, all these teams are very good. All these players are elite players. Because you know how I talk. I'm just like, this guy sucks. These teams are garbage. They have no business being there. And I took a lot of flack. So I feel bad.
I hate them. I hate the Leafs in those words. And I know what you mean by that. But people out of context get really upset with you.
They do. There's only one person I hate. And I think we all know who that is. And it's a perfect hatred. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to give him any more fuel for the fire, but it's Liam O'Brien. all right, let's dig into this series because they played Game 3, a critical Game 3. Toronto came back in Game 2 and played absolutely fantastic. Ilya Samsonov played a strong game. Linus Ullmark matched him, not quite as good, but played also very well for the Boston Bruins. Going into Game 3, we knew Jeremy Swayman was going to get the net. That's how they've been working it. He gets the net. The Bruins come into Toronto. Great game. Really, really entertaining, back and forth, lots of passion, lots of energy, just really fun to watch. I was watching it and listening to Steve Dangle at the same time. It's fun to see him just lose his marbles while the game's going on. So you're a Bruins fan, Tim. I want to know your take. Best game by the Bruins so far in this series? Do you think they were firing on all cylinders?
No. I don't even know if they were the best team in that game. I mean, not consistently. Not the whole thing. And it was frustrating, although it was a lot of fun to watch. I think this has probably been the best series. There's a little bit of conversation online this morning about it's been kind of a lame playoff so far. Because honestly, the first round is honestly usually one of the better ones.
Yeah.
All the teams are playing. There's a lot of hatred, a lot of excitement. And there's been a couple good series, but there's a couple that, you know, that are 2-0, 3-0. This has been a really good back and forth one. There's a lot of hatred. both games one and two or two and three, I forget, were like close to setting records for hits, combined hits in a game between these two teams in the playoffs. Like they're just going at it. You got the Marshawn Bertuzzi thing. You got McAvoy and Matthews going at each other. Like there's a lot of just animosity. There's a lot of goal scoring. There's a lot of controversy. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah. And then the Leafs kick it off. They get a good start. Matthew Nyes gets a beautiful pass from Mitch Marner, who, by the way, and I don't know if we want to get into this too much, but we send a lot of flack to Auston Matthews, right? We're critical of him, very critical of how he plays. Mitch Marner's been invisible for the first two games. So he finally showed up a little bit in game three, played a little bit better, made a beautiful pass to Matthew Nyes' back door. Toronto gets on the board. And then what I think was the turning point of this game, in my eyes, I know a lot of people aren't thinking of it this way, but Trent Frederick, in the beginning of the second period, skating down the boards, very innocent-looking play, just fires a puck on Elias Samsonov. Not a shot he's even trying to score on, in my eyes. He's just throwing it on the net, getting pressured by the D-man, and it goes in. You can tell Frederick was confused. Elias Samsonov's looking behind him. How did that go in? He had the angle. It was a bad angle, and it just goes right through him, Tim. And in my eyes, this is what changed the game. The Leafs are like, are you kidding me? You're letting in this goal in this situation. We're up 1-0. We're at home. Everything's going right. And all of a sudden we're tied because of that garbage goal. And it just kind of changed the complexity of the game. The Bruins started to get momentum. They started to get a little more confident. And it was away we go from there. They get the next goal by Jake DeBrusk. Bertuzzi ties it up. And then Marchand gets the winner right after that. But you can't. We talk about goaltenders a lot. You can't give up that goal. You can't. And this is what's plagued Toronto for years and years and years now, where they can't get that just one easy save. Jack Campbell used to do this. Everybody used to do this for the Leafs. It's just that one beach ball. It's just like, what are we doing here? It's an easy save. They make incredible saves, acrobatic saves, and you let up just a powder puff of a goal. It's a heartbreaker, Tim. It's an absolute backbreaker for a team sitting on the bench watching that puck go in.
Well, you talk about, you know, the goalies need to make the saves they're supposed to make. And this is one, like, he's along the boards. He's above the hash marks. It's unobstructed. If you're a defenseman, you let guy take that shot all day long. Like, you can see that, yeah. Right? They'll make him make the play, get a face-off, whatever. There's no chance he should go in. But I think part of the factor for this goal was the play between Marchand and Bertuzzi just seconds before they collide at the Leafs blue line. Bertuzzi goes down a little too hard, in my opinion. We can get into that. But I think everyone sort of paused for a second because it almost seemed like there should have been a whistle or they expected a whistle. And there was that little just enough to like disrupt the flow mentally of the game where it seemed like Samsonov didn't get set or like, I don't know, it's his fault. I'm not saying trying to make excuse for him, but it seemed like that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, Keefe sure thinks so. It's really... It's just embarrassing. It's like you're placing blame on Brad Marchand for playing the way he plays every single game, by the way. This is nothing new for Brad Marchand. I played against that guy for 8 years. He does it every game. He obviously amps it up in the playoffs a little bit, and he's more effective at it, and the eyes are focused on him, so everybody notices it. But this is who he is. And Bertuzzi was giving it to him, too. So Marchand takes down Bertuzzi in the neutral zone. It's a nothing play. I think the Leafs are just using this as an excuse. Keefe is really, he's really bordering on the line of embarrassing right now as a coach. Almost like whiny in the press conferences. What were his quotes about Brad Marchand, Tim, after the game?
He said, there's not another player in this series who gets away with taking out Bertuzzi's legs the way he does. It's an art, and he's elite at it.
So did Brad Marchand just come out of nowhere and just undercut him and take him down? No, they were jostling from the hash marks in the Leafs defensive zone all the way through the D zone into the neutral zone. And at the end, Marchand just takes him down. That's it. Bertuzzi took Marchand down. Marchand took Bertuzzi down. They both get up and they go to the neutral zone. And Bertuzzi ends up on his keister. That's it. It's for the playoffs. Maybe in the regular season, that might be a penalty. They would probably both go earlier, but it's just, It's very just pathetic from Sheldon Keefe saying this sort of thing. Is that what you're trying to do? You're trying to sway the referees so you could be on the power play more? Hey, newsflash, dum-dum, you have gotten more power plays this series than the Bruins have. And another newsflash, how are they doing on the power play, Tim?
Well, in game three, they went 0 for 5. At one point, they had four straight power plays in the second, first and second period. And that most of them, I think they were all fair. You know what I mean? Like the Bruins penalties were legitimate, although there could have been some going the other way too. But those four were for sure penalties, and they didn't score in any of them. And in the game, they went 0 for 5 with three combined shots total across five power plays, which is just pathetic. So now through three games, the Leafs have had 11 power plays. They've scored on one. Meanwhile, Boston's had 10 and they've scored on five. Five out of 10. That's the series right there. That's like probably the one of two main headlines of the series is the fact that they've scored in the power play and the Leafs haven't.
Well, the one was an empty netter right at the end of the game, but still 4 for 9 is pretty darn good. And then the other main thing is, where's Willie Nylander? What's going on with Willie? I think he's a major part of why the Leafs power play is struggling. He was incredible incredible for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's just preface that. He was very good last year for the Leafs. He showed up. He's been missing. So what is Elliot Friedman? I saw Elliot was very hesitant to even say anything about Willie Nylander, Tim.
Well, it's all been mysterious. And he said yesterday that the report is Nylander's been suffering from migraines, really severe ones. That's probably related to a concussion. But it's not totally clear. And even he admitted it's like, this is not, it's strange that it's, you know, the information that we're not getting here, something going on. It's weird because he has been skating a little bit with the team pregame in the morning skate. Yeah. I mean, but migraines are no joke. I've never really suffered from them, but I know people who have, and it's awful. So people are being critical of Nylander for not playing through. Is just don't understand what those can do to you. But it is pretty debilitating, and hopefully he gets healthy for him. Although it's a series changer for the Bruins.
Is this next game coming up for the Toronto Maple Leafs do or die? Could you see them digging out of a 3-1 hole?
Yeah, but so after Marchand scored that his first goal, he skated by the Leafs bench and he goes, it's over in five. You saw
that? Whoa. There's some discrepancy there. Some people say there's still 35 seconds left. So let's just not put a stamp on that. We don't know what he said 100%. I saw that too. And I tried to break it down, and it's not definitive what he says. But if he does say it's over in five, I love that. I think it's great.
Well, he's been under their skin, and that's not a Leafs thing. He does that to everyone. He's very good at it. I mean, his thing with Bertuzzi goes back to Bertuzzi's days in Detroit. And even like the opening faceoff of game one, like we said, he was already under Domi's skin. You know what
Whose,
I mean?
Whose visor did he lick? Did he lick Kessel's visor or Kadri's visor? Who did he lick back in the day?
I think that was Tampa. I don't think that
was. Was it Tampa?
Yeah, I don't remember. It was his nose. He licked someone's nose. It wasn't his visor.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. What would you
do? I don't remember who it was.
How would you react if someone just out of nowhere licked your nose?
You're getting a cross check under the chin.
You would, or would you be so confused that you would just, did you just lick my nose? Like, it's such a weird thing to do. But so you don't think this series is over even if they go down 3-1?
No, because after game two we saw, oh geez, this is a whole different series. This leaves, they're not going to go down quietly. And then, you know, and even like I said, I don't think we've seen the best from Boston. Well, Mex, we probably did in game one. We definitely haven't seen the best from Toronto. And 2-1, and you know, the next game's in Toronto, they're gonna have a couple of days off. Does Nylander return? I think we'd be pretty remiss to say that the series is close to being over.
Leo Komarov.
That's who we like. So
Toronto. Yeah. I thought it was Toronto. All right. One more thing I wanted to touch on in this game, and I think it's very important just for hockey in general. This is what coaches harp on all the time. You don't give up a goal to end the period. And after you score, that's the most important shift of the game. You have to put out someone who you know is going to either play incredible defensively or just go out and continue that momentum, throw it in deep, go hammer guys, and just build up with that goal. The Toronto Maple Leafs, for some reason, can't do that. They can't hold momentum. They can never seem to have sustained back-to-back-to-back shifts in the offensive zone and just really hammer a team and just build on it, because it is a real thing. Momentum is a thing. It's like a snowball. Once it gets going, it's bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's harder to stop. The crowd gets into it. You get pumped up on the bench. It's harder to play defense than it is offense, and you're just always on your toes. The other team's on their heels. After they score their second goal to tie the game, Tyler Bertuzzi, they needed a big shift. They needed a huge shift. And even the commentators, I think, said it. They said, I wonder why they're putting out Bertuzzi's line again. They just scored the goal. They're all amped up. Lo and behold, Marshawn goes down and they score, what, 10 seconds later, 20 seconds later to take the lead again. And it just sucked the air out of the other team. It just the whole arena. Whew, they were all gassed up. Everybody was jacked up. They were cheering. We're going to win this game. Yeah, Leafs go, Leafs go. Then Marshawn, boom. That's it. This is my building, he says. And he scores the next two goals and the Bruins win. That's such a crucial moment, Tim. And Sheldon Keefe blew it. I figure you take those guys off the ice. They're so excited from scoring that goal. Let them compose herself on the bench. Get a new line out there. Let's go. Like, get some energy. After you score, you're all jacked up. You're not thinking about the next game. You want to celebrate. The next shift, excuse me. Coaching mistake. Big time coaching mistake there by Sheldon Keefe. I think he's fired after the season. I'm calling it now. He's gone. Absolutely gone. If they don't come back and win, which I don't think they will, because I picked the Bruins. All right. Anything else on this series, Tim?
Well, I mentioned that the power play is one of two main stories why the Bruins are ahead 2-1. The other was Jeremy Swayman. He's just played absolutely outstanding. And I think at this point you have to roll with him until he loses the job, until he has a bad game.
Disagree.
I think you have to come back. But look at his stats against the Maple Leafs this season. 6-0-0, 959 save percentage, 131 goals against. He's at 430 save performances. He's in their head. They feel like they can't score against them. That's such a mental thing, too. And like the stats are one thing, but just like the aspect of him owning the Leafs, he feels like he knows that. I don't feel like you can take the net away from him.
I do. You Why? Go back. It's not like Ullmark played a terrible game. You have to give Ullmark his due, right? You have to give him the net. The guy was a Vezina Trophy winner last year. Like he's Johnny, a legit goaltender.
He's 6-0. You have to give him. Or maybe you do back what I said the other day. You give Swayman game four and tell him regardless of outcome, Ullmark gets game five. I think you go right back with Swayman.
And everybody's entitled to their opinion, whether they're good, bad, or the others. And I think you go back with Ullmark. And then with the expectation, you go with Swayman in five. And if Swayman wins five, then you go with Ullmark or Swayman again in six.
Okay.
If Ullmark loses again in four, it's Swayman's net for the rest of the series. 100%.
If you think, so going back to Swayman in game four, do you think that would be a mistake?
No, I don't. I don't. But they can't go back to Ullmark ever again. And that's it. It's Swayman's net for the rest of the playoffs. That's the thing. Yeah. Once you make this decision, you're locked in. Like you're locked into a one goaltender situation for the rest of the playoffs from here on out. And then if Swayman starts to falter, then it's Ullmark's net. So you can't just, you get two, you get one, then you get three, then you get two. It doesn't work that way. Goaltenders are so mental. We've had a bunch on the show. They're nut jobs. They're so fragile. That's why they're always working on their mental game. Fragile human beings. So they always got to be zen and focused and this and that. They can't let anything bother them because they just crumbled him. You're very similar to a goaltender.
Okay.
Just crumbled.
Here we are.
And here we are, 2 months. But let's contrast him to another goaltender who is arguably the best goaltender in the game. Jeremy Swayman playing lights out, Connor Hellebuck for the Winnipeg Jets. Horrendous. I would have never guessed. And then someone digs up his stats from the playoffs, his last six playoff games. This guy's playing like an East Coast goalie. He's 1-5, 4.34 goals against, 8.76 save percentage. 4+ goals allowed in 5 of the 6 games, Tim. What is going on? Is it him or is it the Winnipeg Jets?
I think you have to lean on him. And now, again, I'm not watching all these games, obviously, but these stats are enough to say that there's something going on here because they still split right now. They're 1-1. They let the Avs back in game two, but this is enough body of work to say, okay, what's up with Hellebuck in the playoffs? And it's not just this year either. It goes back to last year. Or the year before, I forget. So, like, it's not just like an injury thing where he's not quite right. This is a multiple season poor performance, like borderline not a NHL goalie level stat. So it's really strange that we're seeing it from a guy who had such a strong season. And like you said, you can make the case he's the best goalie in the league.
Yeah. And now here's the thing. If you're Rick Bonus, then I said I would make this change when I went on that Sportsnet show in Edmonton. Do you have the stones to bench Connor Hellebuck in game three? Because he gets the win in game one. He gave up 6 goals. You know what I mean? This guy has been struggling. He's not playing his best hockey. Do you have the chutzpah, Rick Bonus, to bench Connor Hellebuck? Or, as other people say, you got me here, I'm going to ride with you. until we're done, ride or die, Connor Hellebuck. You and I'll ride your 8-2 4-1 just series losing. We're out. Laurent Brossoit was fantastic this year. Every time he got the net, he played lights out. He's getting shutouts. He was getting wins. I don't have his record pulled up in front of me. He had a very, very, very good season. So if I'm Rick Bonus, and I don't say this lightly, I'm starting Laurent Brossoit in game 3. You've had 2 really poor efforts from Connor Hellebuck. Like, I'm talking very poor. Why not? You have a very serviceable backup. Go to him. Give Connor another day. You wouldn't do that, though, Tim.
No, I'd stick with Hellebuck. I mean, although I got his stats in front of me, Brossoit, 22-15-5, 2.0 goals against, .927 save percentage. That's like, that's very, very good.
22-15-5?
Yeah.
He played that many games?
No, sorry, hold on, game started. No, I was looking. It's 15-5.
Yeah, okay.
Games started, yes.
There we go. Yeah, 15-5. The guy's a stud. Well, not a stud. He's very good.
Yeah.
So go to him. That's what he's there for. But I don't think they will, because no one has the stones like I do. Oh, I wish I was a coach. So fantastic. I would hate to be a coach. All right. Anything else on the Winnipeg Jets, Tim?
No, let's talk about Tampa. Tampa and the Florida matchup. They're on the verge of being swept, which is a really strange thing for me in the first round. They lost at home last night in game 3. They find themselves down 0-3. One of the things I wanted to talk about going into last night was Vasilevsky had been playing really well. He was 0-2, but he had been playing really good. Yeah. His save percentage was great. He was making big saves. His wins above expected was like excellent, all those advanced stats. Not as strong in game 3. A couple of bad goals, especially that Lorenz one that made the game 4-3 in the third. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it was a weird bounce, but you want to lock that one down. And it's strange because Tampa is just not playing like themselves. Because they're capable, they're of being the best team in the league, even at this point in these guys' careers, and they're not playing like it. So is it them, or do you think Florida is just that good?
I think it's Florida. I think Florida is now in playoff mode. Derek Stepan, we mentioned this a lot. Derek Stepan mentioned it. Just get to the playoffs, and then we'll go. This is a different team that we saw in the regular season down the stretch. They're completely different. They're playing different. They're playing harder. They're doing things that they didn't do in the regular season. Every single goal Florida scores, it's either trash around the net or it's through traffic and Vasilevsky can't see a thing. There's not one clean goal that's off a rush. You know what I mean? Tampa's goals are off of a rush. It's east-west. It's nice backdoor passes, and it's a goal. Florida's goals are sustained zone time, taking advantage of a turnover, and just out-muscling guy. Their first goal, Matt Dunbar, gets pigeon-tossed in front of the net, and he just is lying on his keister when Florida scores their first goal. And every single goal after that was either through a screen, Vasilevsky's trying to see through traffic, he doesn't know where the puck's going, and the next thing you know, they've gotten 4 goals behind them. So I think this is a case of Florida just upping their game. It's playoff time. Let's buckle down. We got through the regular season. We did what we needed to do. Now here we are. Let's go. And they're imposing their will on the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are a good team, like you mentioned. They're missing some pieces. I think Sergachev was a huge, huge loss for him. And the team, you saw, they just can't. They don't have the horses back there to keep up with the Lightning. Or the Panthers, excuse me. So, Lightning are playing great, good. The Panthers are just a better team, Tim. And I sometimes I lay awake at night, and I go, how the hell would Tim pick the Tampa Bay Lightning to win this series? It boggles my mind. And there's another series we're going to talk about, too. And I just go, this guy's supposed to be an expert? Crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So what do you think? Is it the Panthers or is it the Lightning? What's the reason for this 3-0?
I think it's the Panthers. And I think they're going to transition now to the next series. It's the same type of thing. Dallas, they're 0-2. And they play both of those games at home. Although, like we said, the series doesn't start till the home team wins, right?
The series doesn't start until the home team loses on the road.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Try to unwrap that one. When the home team loses on the road, does that even make sense? Because I don't think it does.
It doesn't. That was just my cup pick. Now they're heading back to Vegas. All the momentum's in Vegas's favor. I was reading a little bit this morning doing some research, and there's an article from The Athletic, and the headline is, what's wrong with the Dallas Stars? Nothing. They've just run into the defending NHL champs. And that's kind of a summary. I think you want a little bit more out of Ottinger. You want a little bit more out of the guys in front of him, but Vegas is just so stacked that it's impossible.
And we talked about this at the end of the season. Everybody's jockeying for positions. The last game of the season, the LA Kings and the Vegas Golden Knights were both playing. LA beats Chicago. Vegas Golden Knights lose to Anaheim. Vegas ends up in the second wildcard seed. LA Kings end up in the third in the Pacific. That's it. That's the difference between the Dallas Stars moving on to the second round and potentially the Western Conference Finals versus them bowing out in the first round, potentially in four games. Because they could have beat the LA Kings. They could have, and they should have. But, you know, lo and behold, things happen at the last game of the season. They get the Vegas Golden Knights. They get Thomas Hertl. They get Jack Eichel. They get Mark Stone. They get Jonathan Marchessault and Hanifin and Pietrangelo and all these guys. And it's just, this is a scary thing to me is Vegas is getting better. Every game, they're getting better. These guys are not familiar with each other, and they're learning each other's tendencies, and they're still figuring out how each other's plays. They're getting better. Wait till the second round. Wait till the third round when these guys have, you know, the Stanley Cup in sight. They're going to be dangerous. This is not fair for the Dallas Stars. Matt Duchene, when he was on the show, you could tell he was irked that that's even an option. They're going to play the Vegas Golden Knights. He was biting his tongue. He didn't want to say what he truly, you know, thought, that this is a cheating, darn tooting, no good, rotten Vegas Golden Knights team. And here we are. They're down 2-0. And they have no hope. I'm sorry, Tim. You hitched your cart to the wrong horse. No hope whatsoever. You can't lose the first two games at home and have any chance of coming back. You don't think Vegas is going to at least win one of the next two?
No. Yeah, no.
And that's the thing. So. Who's scoring the goals for Vegas? They've gotten six. Who's gotten half their goals?
It's Stone. It's Hertl. It's Hanifin. 3 out of the 6, which is just crazy. But the other thing too is that I was reading again about them this morning, and there was a couple of things. I read one article that had one quote from DeBoer, and I thought, that's a little strange, but whatever. I read another article had a different quote, and I was like, whoa, okay, something's going on here. DeBoer is making excuses. It's very defeatist. It's very negative, and I'm going to read some of these. So Dallas lost two players in the last game, Marchment and Faxa. He was asked about those two guys being hurt. DeBoer said, "It shortened our bench for sure. You could see probably it started to wear on us, juice and energy-wise, in the third. I like the fact that both teams were physically engaged. I didn't think it hurt our game other than we lost some bodies." Now, he's not wrong, but you want to hear a coach say, "Hey, it doesn't matter who's there or how many people. We got to get the job done, and you know we just didn't deliver." That's the kind of thing that you hear the good coaches say.
Yep.
And then he was asked about playing Vegas, and he goes, DeBoer said, "They're the Stanley Cup champions. They've got everyone figured out. They figured out everyone last year too, so we're not alone in that boat." He's like, "Yeah, we're losing, but so did everyone else, so it's okay." It's just not like, it's pathetic. Yeah, I don't like that. What do you think?
I agree. I think it's defeatist. He's just laying down the excuses of why they're losing. Which do you want as a player, do you want your coach just making excuses for you? Maybe you do. Why are you guys losing? What's going on? Well, they're just a really good team we're playing across the ice there. They won last year. No one can beat them. Rough. We're trying, right? We're doing our best. We lost a couple guys, but we played pretty good. They just played better. Is that what you want to hear? Does that instill confidence in you? Or do you want a coach who's going to say, "You know what? We let this one slip away. We made some mistakes. We got to be better next game. We can improve. We have another gear to our game. Maybe play a little more desperate. We can win this series versus this team. They're beatable." I think you want to hear the latter. This guy, yeah. And he was the coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. Maybe he just still wants to be there. He's angling for a job next year. I don't know. I don't like Pete DeBoer, and I'll tell you why. I have some personal, you know, issues with him. I finished my season with San Jose. I had my best season of my career. Lights out. I was scoring goals, getting assists, playing great. We weren't great. But I was like the one diamond in a room full of just turds. It was me. So I talked to the GM, Doug Wilson. He's like, "I really want to bring you back." But we had just fired the coach, Todd McClellan. We don't know who the new coach is going to be. So I want to get his input. I'm like, "All right, well, let me know." Going into the offseason, we're talking May, end of May, June. I'm like, "Doug, what's going on? The new coach has been named. It's Pete DeBoer." He's like, "Pete doesn't like you." I'm like, "What the hell you mean Pete doesn't like me? Pete doesn't know me." I'm like, "Have him call me. Let's go. Let's set up a conversation. I think we're going to go in a different direction." This was like the end of June that he strung me along this whole offseason. I thought I was going back to San Jose. And I didn't go back there because of Pete DeBoer. Isn't that sad? Then I went on and won the NHL All-Star Game MVP, and it worked out for me. But it was I was upset. I was very upset. And then Pete is the reason I didn't go back to San Jose. So I'm glad they're losing. I'm so glad. Anyways, anything else on this one? Do the Dallas Stars, Tim, have a chance to come back? Much like you said, oh, the Leafs are fine. You know, maybe the Tampa Bay Lightning can win a few. You think the Stars are okay?
Yeah, I do. I mean, they won the West for a reason. They're a totally stacked team. They have a great lineup. They have a great goaltender. I understand, you know, the odds in Vegas is as tough a matchup as you'll find, but I'm not counting them out yet.
Love that optimism. You never just put a stamp on someone and say they're done.
I do, but I don't stick my neck out to do it very often.
I'm always throwing my neck out there, and I get burned fairly often. All right, let's talk about a team that's actually done. Like, we're talking, they don't even need to finish this series. They shouldn't even have been in the playoffs for the most part. It's the New York Islanders. They went down 3-0 last night versus the Carolina Hurricanes. They put up a valiant effort, but the Hurricanes win 3-2. It's just, they're outmatched. They can't do anything. This series is all but over. The formalities, it's done. It is what it is. They're out. And then their other wild card compadre in the Eastern Conference, the Washington Capitals, are down 0-2. There's no chance of them coming back. They're going home. They play tonight, and they're just going to get mollywopped. It's not even going to be close. Ovechkin's going to be dashed too, and he's just not even going to try again. He's going to have his stupid Subway and Cheetos before the game, and oh, it's so cute. Do it in the playoffs, Ovechkin, you bum. He wins one Stanley Cup. Shuts it down. Absolutely shuts. I'm going for Gretzky's record. That's all I want nowadays. That's all I play for. How would you feel if you're Sidney Crosby, then?
That's kind of the point I wanted to make, was like, you know, the Capitals are down 0-2. The Islanders are down 0-3. They're not even really putting up a fight. And you know that, and we've said this, like, Sidney Crosby had 23 points in his final 13 games. The Red Wings made multiple third period comebacks and overtime wins to get those critical points to be part of the rush. I understand the argument, well, you didn't do it early in the season when it mattered. They had fewer points, whatever. You want the teams that are playing their best hockey, that are just dying to get in at the right time of year. Those two teams are doing it. And I don't think I would have picked them over Carolina or the Rangers. I think both those teams are probably still out in the first round, but they would have put up a fight. They would have given him a full series, and they would have been way more fun to watch than these two pathetic teams. So it's frustrating for the hockey fans like us who watch most of the games, who follow all the series, that just want good hockey, and we're not getting it.
No, we're not. And it just plays into what you said at the start of the show. Just the anticipation of the first round. I was very excited. I thought it was going to be really, really solid matchups up and down the lineup. There's no good series. Well, there's a couple. In the East, it's only Boston, Toronto. That's it. That's the only one worthwhile you should watch moving forward. Florida, Tampa Bay's over. Rangers and Capitals are over. And Hurricanes and Islanders are over. So there's one series in the East. And in the West, it's the same. Dallas Stars, Vegas Golden Knights, that one's over. Then you got what? LA and Edmonton's a good one. Vancouver and Nashville, it's 1-1. That's a good one. And Jets and Avalanche, is that good? I think really the only series I want to watch is Bruins Leafs. I should say all the ones out West are fun. I shouldn't say that. Even Dallas and Vegas still has a chance. The West is where you want to focus all your attention, which is fun because the games don't start until 10 p.m. It's a lot of fun if you're living on the East Coast like me, but if you're on the West Coast, that's awesome. It's just sad that those two teams got in. Islanders, Capitals, because I agree. Wings would have put up a better fight. Sidney Crosby and the Penguins, I think, could have upset whoever they would have played. It would have been a much better effort than the stupid Washington Capitals. Gosh, those Russians bother me, don't they? It's just, show a little effort. Our poor Russian. I enjoy Russian players. I really do. I'm just teasing. People don't know my sense of humor. I'm teasing when I say I don't like Ovi. I like Ovi. He's a great player. He's just not playing like he is right now, like he used to be. I don't know. All right, Tim. Who is our new partner we're pairing up with?
Yeah, very exciting announcement here. We're thrilled to welcome Bet365 to Drop in the Gloves as our sports betting partner just in time for the 2024 playoffs. Whole lot of hockey love. Great time to get your bets in. We'll be here with Bet365 to provide you with all the news, analysis, lines, and betting options for the playoffs until there's only one team left standing in June. Bet365 is the largest betting platform globally. Open an account with Bet365. Use promo code HockeyCA to bet on a huge range of markets. HockeyCA. But this is the global thing. A lot of our past partners was Toronto only, Ontario only, Canada only. This is global. wherever you are listening from, you can bet on these games. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Poland?
That's it. It's in.
Can they do it? They do it in Poland?
Globally. Worldwide. Wide. Wide.
You can't. We got to copyright that. That's from Step Brothers. We can't do that. We're going to get in trouble. All right. But yeah, very excited. Thank you, Bet365, for partnering with us. We're very excited. That's good. All right. Moving on, Tim. Let's get some quick hits and get out of here.
Yeah. The San Jose Sharks fired Dave Quinn the other day, which I was surprised by. I think most people were surprised by. Yeah, they had a horrible record. I don't know what he was expected to do differently. And I think he did his job, was to get them the lottery pick, and he did that. So I'm not sure what their reasoning is, or if they don't think he's the right coach to bring up the young kids that they're going to be bringing in. I don't know. What was your take on that?
It was strange as well for me to see that. I don't know the reasoning. He had nothing to work with, like literally no solid skill players, unless Mike Greer and him had different ideas moving forward. That's the only reason why he would fire him at this point. It doesn't make any sense at all. Or Mike Greer knows something that we don't, and there's another coach who's going to be made available, or there's someone else who he likes to fill that position. So we'll see. It's not a crazy, undesirable job to have the San Jose Sharks, because like you said, the expectations are super low. You come in, you can develop the young guys. You have two first-rounders this year. You have two first-rounders next year. You have some good prospects coming up in the system, hopefully. And then you're losing Mark Edward Vlasic. You're losing some big cap numbers. You have some money to spend. I could see this team rebuilding fairly quickly. So it wouldn't be a terrible spot if I'm a coach trying to pick where I want to go. I would throw my hat in that ring. If I'm a Joel Quinn, I want to see Joel back in the NHL. I really do. I think he'd be just a great coach. I actually texted Lindy Ruff last night because he's the new coach of the Buffalo Sabres. And I was like, hey, Lindy, congrats. I almost said, do you have a job for me? But here's my play. I don't want to do that right away, because then it seems like, oh, that's the only reason why you're reaching out and saying hi. It's because you just want something for me. What you do is you say, hi, congrats. You were one of my favorite coaches. I'm really happy you're back in the league. He responds, then you let it sit. And you play the long game. And then in 2 weeks from now, I'll say, hey, you know, is there any spot for me on your staff? I was thinking I'd love to get back into the game myself. Maybe I can be some kind of consultant or skills coach, or be an upper management, an advisor, a skills advisor. I'm just throwing that out there. I loved working alongside you when I played. That's my game, Tim. Not too aggressive, but I'm always around.
Well, you have to do it remotely, right? You're not moving. So no.
It's a total remote job. Yeah. We do skills sessions on Zoom. Yeah. Me and Jeff Skinner. I just have someone holding the laptop on the ice with them.
I'll move back up there, follow you around. It's funny. Yeah. It reminds me of like a year or two ago when I forget who you texted. It might have been the Sharks guys or something, but every so often you'll check in just to make sure they respond to you. But then when they respond saying, hey, how are you? How's the family? You just don't respond. You just want to make sure that they'll respond.
I want to make sure I have the number and that we're still on good terms. That's it. Because you never know when I need something. I'm into town. Like, oh, well, maybe I need a hockey stick, or maybe I need this, I need that, I need an interview request. You know what I mean? Maybe they know something. I like to have these, you know, informers all over the place, get some information out of them. And those stick guys, they know more than anybody else on the team. They're always around. They hear all the conversations. So they're a wealth of knowledge. All these insiders you're hearing about, it's the staff. It's not like the GM. It's not the, you know, upper management. It's the staff who know everything. So I like to, you know, stay on good terms, Tim. You should try that, because every time you leave a company, you go scorched earth and just like, I'm out of here. Peace. You know what I mean? Not a good way to live your life. It really isn't.
Okay.
This is giving you some little nuggets of knowledge here, Tim. You should write this down. All right. Who's injured, Tim? Tell me.
A few players are. The report came out this morning from Sarah Sibian that the Demko is out for the rest of the playoffs. Which is kind of a strange one, because it was like, oh, a couple of days, then it was week to week, and then it was, you know, long term, and now it's looking like the rest of the season, which is such a bummer for him and a bummer for that team. I don't know, like you said, they probably still get by Nashville, but beyond that, this really hurts their chances.
Devastating. Absolutely devastating for this team, who had Stanley Cup aspirations. Like, this is a pretty solid team. They had a good regular season, bounced back from the year before. They finished first in the Pacific, for Pete's sake. They were a good team. So no chance. No chance with Casey DeSmith and Nat to win the Stanley Cup. Yeah, they're going to be bounced in the second round. Those poor guys. I should reach out. You know, give JT a text. Hey, man, sorry. It sucks. Connor Garland, Tyler Myers. Lots of friends of the show on that team.
Tim says hi, too, by the way.
Tim's around. Well, you're going to do the messaging because I don't. Let's be honest. You're going to message him through for me, which is how we roll.
Couple others to the Hurricanes. I don't think it'll matter hugely, but Jesper Fast is expected to miss the rest of the season, which is a bummer for them. A good, really important depth player for them. And Brett Pesce out with a lower body injury, although I don't think it's going to be long term for him necessarily.
Pesce's a big one. I think he's a huge piece of this team. But lo and behold, this might open up a whole new option for the Carolina Hurricanes because Tony DeLangelo was their seventh defenseman. And so he inserted himself in the lineup last game. Played fantastic. So it almost is a better situation to have Tony in the lineup. He's like a Jake Gardner that the Carolina Hurricanes underutilized as well years ago. Tony DeLangelo could go down as one of the most underrated players in the NHL who was not utilized just because people don't like his politics. Guy's an absolute stud. Like, he does everything right. He was only played 31 games this year somehow. The year before, he played every playoff game. He was almost a point per game in the guy in the playoffs. But Rod the Bot doesn't like that he voted for Trump. Give me a break. Put your politics aside. We got to win a Stanley Cup here. Tony plays 16 minutes last night. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Played with Brady Shea and the Rangers. So they have some kind of, you know, camaraderie. They know how they play. It's just unfortunate. Unfortunate. I don't play politics here. I don't want to know who you vote for. I don't care. You don't need to know who I vote for. We're just talking hockey here. But Rod the Bot, letting politics get in the way of hockey. You know what I mean? Because Tony DeLangelo should be a starter. He should first unit power play. Like, he should be playing.
But their defense is so stacked. Not saying that he shouldn't be out of a job, but like, they're so good. And they added, you know, Orlov and Burns and Slavin, Pesce, Shea. Like, it's so stacked top to bottom.
They really do have a solid decor. Like, that's – how do you win Stanley Cups, Tim? Tell me.
Really good wingers that are small, can score a lot of goals, and just a good fighter.
Very expensive goaltender. Is that how you win? No, yeah. You're strong down the middle and solid on the back end. And they got Aho, Kakiniemi, Jordan Staal, Kuznetsov down the middle, and the best defense in the NHL. And then they finally picked up a goal scorer who could put it in the net. And Svechnikov is healthy. Oh, and Seth Jarf is, he's matured. Oh, Carolina's strong.
What was your bracket? Do you have Carolina over Edmonton in the finals?
I had them over Vegas, I think. I can't remember. Vegas. Yeah, Carolina over Vegas. I think that was my final two. Carolina looks very, very solid. Very, very good. So, and Freddie Anderson's playing pretty good. Did you see his save on his shoulder save on someone last night? Was it Dobson?
Yeah.
It was a glove save. It was. He's incredible. All right. Anything else, Tim?
No, and big plans for the weekend. Chicken coop coming together.
I am going to play a charity hockey game tomorrow down just north of Detroit. And it's the New York Rangers alum versus a Detroit Red Wings alum. So that's going to be a lot of fun. There's some big names playing. Henrik Lundqvist playing goal for the Rangers. You got Sean Avery for the Rangers. You got myself. The Red Wings have the whole cast of guys, Maltby, Draper, McCarty. The big name that's playing, but he's going to be playing sledge hockey, is Konstantinov.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so he's going to be there. It's very exciting. He hasn't, I don't think, done much as far as publicity and being out in public goes, but he will be, you know, it'll be fun to see him. So that'll be fun. I'm doing that tomorrow, and then I'm going to build the chicken coop today, and hopefully I got to update with some pictures. The walls are up. It's been slow going, you know. Weather, and I had pneumonia, and then just it's been a lot. So I'll give you a picture. The walls are up. I got to do the roof next week.
How many do you have now? How many chickens?
Well, I got to wait. That's the thing. So I have a friend holding them until I'm done with this coop, because we only have two, but I have 10 ready to roll once I finish this coop. And so we'll round it out with a dozen. Yeah.
Nice.
Very exciting. And it'll be easier for the kids to get the eggs, because right now they have to like crawl in the car through the hay and like reach around, and like there's bird, like it's just not ideal. So this one has the door, you can open up, take the eggs. Very simple.
Nice. Very good.
And my wife wants me to finish. She's like, this has just been, I wanted it done by Easter, and then the weather turned and it was snowy and yucky, and then we went on a trip, and it's just been a lot. So what are you going to do, Tim? You know, you got to roll with it. Roll with the punches. You should learn that. You need to grow up. Let's be honest, because you get flustered. Okay. This is a big episode for you.
When you're ready, right. The chicken poop will present itself to you.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend. Enjoy yourself. Watch some hockey. It's a big weekend. We could be into the second round by the time we get back here on Monday. So we'll talk to you then. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.